Hey everybody, welcome back for another deep dive. You know, the book of Revelation has always kind of fascinated me, but I'll be honest, it's also a little intimidating.
Right.
Like this puzzle box just packed with these cryptic symbols and bizarre images. I mean, you got locusts with lion teeth and all sorts of crazy stuff going on. So when one of you sent in a lecture all about Revelation, I was like, okay, we have got to unpack this together.
Absolutely.
It really makes you think, right? Like, are there these unseen forces kind of shaping the world all around us? Like, is there a deeper story playing out behind all the headlines and the chaos? Well, Revelation kind of dives right into that. And we're lucky to have an expert here who can help us see behind the curtain, so to speak.
Yeah, that's a really great way to put it. Revelation is kind of like this hidden code that reveals a much bigger picture.
Right.
And just like any code, you got to have the key to crack it.
All right, so let's find that key. First things first, who actually wrote this super mysterious book? The lecture mentions that the author calls himself John, but wasn't that kind of a common name back then?
Oh, it was. It was super common. And that's where things get a little tricky.
Okay.
We don't know for sure which John wrote Revelation. And what's really interesting is, unlike Paul, this John doesn't actually claim to be an apostle.
Wait, hold on. So if he's not an apostle, then where does he get the authority to write something as powerful as, you know, Revelation?
That's a great question. He actually writes with the authority of an Old Testament prophet.
Okay.
He sees himself as part of that lineage, you know, speaking God's truth to power.
So he's kind of like a modern day activist challenging the status quo.
Exactly. And to really grasp his message, we got to step back in time for a minute.
Okay.
The lecture puts Revelation around 95 or 96 AD during the reign of Emperor Domitian. Just imagine living in a city like Ephesus, where they actually built this huge temple dedicated to the emperor himself.
Whoa. A whole temple.
Yeah.
So Roman rule wasn't just about military power. It was about like controlling people's hearts and minds too, right?
You got it. Emperor worship was woven into every aspect of society. And this is where things get really fascinating. The lecture points out that widespread persecution wasn't actually the main issue facing Christians in Revelation.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
I always thought Revelation was all about Christians being thrown to the lions.
Yeah, that's a pretty common misconception. Only two of the seven churches mentioned were actually experiencing serious harassment.
Oh.
The real threat was something much more subtle, something we still struggle with today, even.
Okay, so if it wasn't persecution, what was the big challenge?
Compromise.
Hmm.
A lot of Christians felt pressured to just blend their faith with emperor worship just to fit in, you know, to keep their jobs, to avoid trouble.
Oof. Yeah, I could see how that would be tempting. When everyone around you is doing something, it's easy to just kind of go with the flow.
Absolutely. And that's what makes Revelation's message so powerful.
Okay.
It's this call to resist that pressure, to stand firm in your faith, even when it costs you something.
So it's about having the courage to be different, to stand up for what you believe in, even when it's hard.
You nailed it. And Revelation uses these vivid images and symbols to really drive that point home.
Right.
The lecturer mentions this one striking image, God and Jesus on the throne in heaven, like this direct contrast to the earthly power of Rome.
It's like Revelation is saying, don't be fooled by appearances. True power lies somewhere else.
You said it perfectly.
Yeah.
And that kind of brings us to another key concept, the idea of apocalypse.
Okay, here's where I get a little lost. Doesn't apocalypse just mean, like, the end of the world?
Not quite. The word apocalypse actually means unveiling or revelation. It's more like, you know, pulling back a curtain to reveal a hidden truth.
So it's less about predicting doom and gloom and more about seeing the world from a whole different perspective.
Exactly. Revelation is kind of giving us this sneak peek behind the scenes, showing us the spiritual forces at work that we might not even be aware of in our everyday lives.
You know, that makes me think, but all the things we kind of take for granted, all those assumptions we make about how the world works, maybe Revelation is challenging us to question those assumptions, to see things from a more spiritual point of view.
Now, that's a powerful insight. And it's a perspective that's relevant, not just for those first century Christians, but for all of us today.
Hmm. Yeah. I'm starting to see how this ancient book might have some surprising things to say about our modern world.
Oh, it definitely does. And that's exactly what we're going to explore more in part two.
Can't wait. But before we go, I got to ask one more thing.
Yeah.
The lecture mentioned different ways that Christians have interpreted Revelation throughout history. Can you give us a quick overview of those approaches?
Sure thing. There are four main approaches: preterist, historicist, idealist, and futurist. The preterist view sees Revelation as mostly fulfilled in the past, you know, particularly in the first century.
Got it.
The historicist view sees it as a roadmap of history outlining all the major events across time. The idealist approach focuses on those timeless themes of good versus evil.
Right.
while the futurist approach really emphasizes Revelation's predictions about the end times.
Wow, so many different ways to read the same text. I guess that's what makes Revelation so fascinating and maybe a little frustrating, too.
Definitely a complex book, but that's part of its beauty. Just keeping those different approaches in mind can help us appreciate the richness and depth of Revelation's message.
You know, I think you're right. It's like each approach adds another layer of meaning to the puzzle. All right, so we've uncovered some pretty fascinating insights about Revelation so far, right? The historical context, the symbolism, the idea of apocalypse as an unveiling. It's a lot to take in.
It is.
But now I'm kind of wondering, how does all of this apply to us today? You know, what's the takeaway for someone living in the 21st century? What would you say to that?
Yeah, that's the million-dollar question, isn't it? And it's one that Christians have been wrestling with for centuries, honestly.
Right.
See, the thing is, the challenges those early Christians faced, they weren't so different from the ones we grapple with today.
What do you mean? It's hard to imagine our lives being anything like those first-century believers.
Maybe on the surface, yeah, but think about it for a second. They were completely surrounded by a culture that just worshipped power, wealth, status.
Okay. Yeah, I see where you're going with this.
Does that sound familiar at all?
Yep. I guess you're right. We might not have emperor worship exactly, but we've got our own versions of idols, right? Social media, celebrity culture, political ideologies, the list goes on and on.
That's it. That temptation to compromise, to conform, to just fit in, that's a human experience that transcends time, and Revelation speaks directly to that.
So how does it help us navigate those pressures today? Can you give me like a real world example? Let's say I'm working at a company where everybody seems to be cutting corners ethically. How does Revelation give me the tools to deal with that?
Man, that's a tough spot to be in for sure. But Revelation reminds us that our ultimate allegiance isn't to any earthly power or system. It's to God.
Right.
It calls us to stand firm in our convictions, even when it means going against the grain.
Yeah, but what if speaking up means losing my job? It's easy to say stand firm, but in reality, that can be pretty scary.
Absolutely. You're right. It's not about being reckless or self-righteous. You know, Revelation isn't calling us to blind obedience or fanaticism. It's about discerning what truly matters, what values are worth fighting for.
So it's about aligning my actions with my beliefs, even when it's difficult.
You got it. And don't forget, Revelation isn't just about warnings and judgments. It's also full of hope and encouragement.
Okay.
It gives us these glimpses of a future where God's justice and love prevail, where everything is made new.
Ah, that's where the idea of apocalypse as an unveiling comes in, right?
Mm-hmm.
Seeing past the surface level to the deeper reality of God's power.
Exactly. Revelation unveils this truth that can be so incredibly empowering. God is in control even when it doesn't seem like it. And just knowing that can give us the strength to resist those pressures to compromise.
That's really helpful. But it makes me wonder, are there other ways that we might be tempted to compromise our values in the modern world?
Oh, absolutely. Think about the pressure to conform to social norms even when they clash with your beliefs. Maybe it's feeling like you have to agree with a popular opinion, even if you don't, just to fit in. Or maybe it's prioritizing material success over your spiritual values.
Oof, that one hits close to home.
Yeah.
So easy to get caught up in that whole pursuit of more, bigger, better.
It is. It's a constant struggle. But Revelation calls us to resist those worldly temptations and to focus on what really matters, building a life of meaning and purpose that's truly aligned with our faith.
So how do we actually do that? How do we live out those values in practical ways? I mean, what can we learn from the example of those early Christians in Revelation?
Well, for one thing, they really understood the power of community.
Okay.
They supported each other. They encouraged each other. They held each other accountable. We need that kind of community today, you know, a place where we can be honest about our struggles and find strength in our shared faith.
That makes so much sense. We're not meant to go through this alone.
Exactly. We need each other to stay strong, especially when the going gets tough. And, you know, those early Christians were willing to risk everything for their beliefs. Now, I'm not saying we all need to become martyrs or anything.
Right.
But their courage can definitely inspire us to speak up for what we believe in, even when it feels uncomfortable or even risky.
So standing firm in our values, finding strength in community, speaking up for truth. Those are some pretty powerful takeaways.
Absolutely.
But I still feel a little bit lost, if I'm being honest.
Sure.
Where do I even begin? How do I start applying all of this to my own life?
That's a great question. And honestly, I think it starts with a simple step reflection. Just take some time to really think about your own values and beliefs.
Okay.
What are the things that are most important to you? What are the lines you're absolutely not willing to cross?
So it's about getting clear on what I stand for. defining my own personal red lines.
Exactly. Once you have that strong foundation, you'll be much better equipped to navigate those tricky situations where you might be tempted to compromise. And remember, God is with you every step of the way. He's the ultimate source of strength and encouragement.
You know, what's really striking me is that Revelation isn't just some ancient text about the end of the world. It's actually like this guidebook for navigating the challenges of faith in any era.
I love that. It's a book about resilience, hope, and the ultimate triumph of good over evil. And those themes are just as relevant today as they were 2,000 years ago.
Wow, this conversation has been so eye-opening. I feel like I'm finally starting to see Revelation in a whole new light.
That's fantastic to hear.
I bet our listeners are eager to hear even more.
Oh, I'm sure they are. There's still so much to uncover.
Well, hold on to your hats, deep divers, because in part three, we're going to get even more specific. We'll dive into some of the most powerful passages in Revelation and explore how they can inspire us to live out our faith with courage and conviction in the face of any challenge. Okay, so we're back for the final part of our deep dive into Revelation. And I got to say, my mind is blown. We've covered so much ground already, you know, from the historical context to the symbolism to the challenges those early Christians were up against. And I'm really starting to connect those dots to our lives today. But now I'm ready to get down to brass tacks.
Yeah.
What are some specific passages from Revelation that really hit home for us in the 21st century?
I'm so glad you asked. Let's jump right into the text, why don't we?
All right.
How about we start at the very beginning in Revelation 1:19. John is told to write, therefore, what you have seen, what is now, and what will take place later.
Ooh, that's interesting. So it's not just about predicting the future. It's about understanding the present and even the past through a different lens, right?
Right. You're picking up on something really important there. Revelation kind of invites us to see the world, including our own lives, within this grand narrative of God's plan. It's like you're suddenly looking through a telescope and things that seem small and insignificant, well, they take on a whole new dimension.
I like that analogy. Okay, I'm starting to see how that works. But can you give me a more concrete example? Like, what's a passage that really captures this idea of seeing things from a different perspective?
Well, the lecture points out this incredibly powerful image in Revelation 5:5. John sees a lamb looking as if it had been slain, standing right in the center of the throne.
Yeah.
It's this symbol of Christ's victory over death and evil.
A slain lamb on the throne. That's a pretty intense image. It seems kind of paradoxical almost.
Yeah, exactly. And that's exactly the point. You see, it would have been such a stark contrast to how the Romans viewed power. For them, power was all about dominance, conquest, you know, crushing your enemies. But here, the one who triumphs is the one who willingly sacrificed himself.
So it's like Revelation is completely clipping the script on the whole idea of power, right? True power isn't about brute force. It's about love and sacrifice.
You got it. And that's a message that's just as powerful today. Just think about all the ways our world equates power with dominance, whether it's in politics or business or even just on social media. Revelation challenges us to embrace a different kind of power. Altogether, the power of humility, service, and compassion.
Makes you wonder if we're all chasing the wrong kind of power sometimes, huh?
Definitely something to ponder. And speaking of things to ponder, let's fast forward to Revelation 21:4 for a minute. John describes this amazing future where God will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away.
Wow. Okay. Now that is a vision of hope that I think we all need right now.
Right.
It's so easy to get bogged down in all the negativity of the world. But this passage, it offers a glimpse of something truly transformative.
It's this powerful reminder that our struggles are ultimately temporary, you know? That in the end, God's love and justice will prevail. And knowing that can give us the strength to keep going, even when things feel really dark and uncertain.
It's like having a light at the end of the tunnel, knowing that no matter what we're going through, there's a brighter future on the horizon.
That's a great way to put it. And honestly, I think that's the core message of Revelation. It's not just about warnings and judgments. It's about offering hope and encouragement to those who are struggling, who are facing persecution, who are tempted to give up. It's a reminder that God is in control, that he's working behind the scenes, and that he will ultimately make all things new.
You know, this entire deep dive has been such an eye-opening experience. I really feel like I have a completely new understanding of Revelation. Now, it's not just this bizarre apocalyptic text. It's a message of hope, resilience, and the ultimate triumph of good over evil. And I think we can all use a little more of that in our lives.
Couldn't agree more. And remember, this is just the beginning of your exploration. Revelation is one of those books that you can come back to again and again, and you'll always find new layers of meaning and insight.
Absolutely. Well, folks, that's a wrap on our Revelation. Deep Dive, thank you so much for joining us on this incredible journey. I hope you've gained a new appreciation for this powerful book and its enduring message of hope and resilience. Remember, no matter what challenges you face in life, you're not alone. God is with you, working for your good and guiding you toward a brighter future. Until next time, keep seeking knowledge and keep exploring the mysteries of the universe.